Elizabeth Smart kidnapped when she was just 14 years old. Now at 21, she testifies that she was raped daily. So sad to hear some of those sordid details, but good for her trying to nail the kidnappers to the wall a little bit more. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We will lighten the load in this show because, of course, in our third hour, we have Nail the Score. Our computer will randomly pick the game of the week in the NFL. It's so much fun. And here's the gist of it. It's like playing the lottery, but you don't have to pay one red cent. And if you correctly nail the score, you win our incredible prize pack filled with a cell phone, movie tickets, all kinds of gift certificates for food places across the United States. So I'm really pulling for somebody to nail the score one of these weeks. Once the computer picks the game of the week, you don't have to know anything about football. You just pick who you think's going to win, what team you think's going to win, and what you think the final score will be. So easy. Plus, a couple of big movies coming out this weekend. Michael Moore's movie on capitalism has been getting a little bit of buzz. Certainly he's been on a lot of talk shows lately, for whatever you think of Michael Moore and some of the documentaries that he's done. He creates that water cooler buzz, we know it, and there has been a lot of buzz over his latest flick. Actually, I saw a couple of previews of it, and he did do some pretty funny things to the guys on Wall Street. I have to admit, I enjoyed that when we think of the price that we've paid for the greedy millionaires that are on the street who have built us. And speaking of the street, ooh, the Dow, rough day in New York. The Dow took a big, fat tumble. How bad did it get? We'll get to that a little bit later on ATN, by the end of this first hour anyway. And the earthquakes and the tsunamis, and the result of the tsunami anyway, Samoa, what's the latest there? The death toll keeps clicking up, unfortunately, and now a strong earthquake shaking Tonga. Man, there have been a bunch of earthquakes in these last 3 or 4 days. Absolutely crazy what we have seen from Mother Nature. Big story, and one that we are going to talk about a lot here in these next 4 hours, is Iran. It was Switzerland, and that was the site, Geneva. U.S. President Barack Obama calling on Iran to provide the U.N. nuclear watchdog agency with access to that new, or newly disclosed anyway, uranium enrichment site. Here's what the president had to say.
The result is clear. The P5 plus one is united, and we have an international community that has reaffirmed its commitment to nonproliferation and disarmament. That's why the Iranian government heard a clear and unified message from the international community in Geneva. Iran must demonstrate through concrete steps that it will live up to its responsibilities with regard to its nuclear program. In pursuit of that goal, today's meeting was a constructive beginning, but it must be followed with constructive action by the Iranian government. First, Iran must demonstrate its commitment to transparency. Earlier this month, we presented clear evidence that Iran has been building a covert nuclear facility in Qom. Since Iran has now agreed to cooperate fully and immediately with the International Atomic Energy Agency, it must grant unfettered access to IAEA inspectors within 2 weeks. I've been in close touch with the head of the IAEA, Mohammed Albaradei, who will be traveling to Tehran in the days ahead. He has my full support, and the Iranian government must grant the IAEA full access to the site in Qom. Second, Iran must take concrete steps to build confidence that its nuclear program will serve peaceful purposes, steps that meet Iran's obligations under multiple UN Security Council resolutions. If Iran does not take steps in the near future to live up to its obligations, then the United States will not continue to negotiate indefinitely, and we are prepared to move towards increased pressure. If Iran takes concrete steps and lives up to its obligations, there is a path towards a better relationship with the United States, increased integration for Iran within the international community, and a better future for all Iranians.
All right, and what is the timetable on all of this? Iran has 2 weeks to allow inspectors, just 2 weeks. So the clock is ticking, and certainly we are watching on this show, and so are others across the world. The idea is here, Iran was part of the meeting, and the government, I think, is quite clear on what the international community wants. They have to demonstrate that they're going to live up to the responsibilities of the nuclear program and prove that it's not for nuclear proliferation, that it's strictly for power purposes. That's why you have to have, of course, the international inspectors able to look at everything in that facility within the next 14 days. Now, Iran promised to transfer the current supply of enriched uranium to another country, so that third country for processing, that would certainly be a positive step if they follow through on that. But the question is, how much do you trust Iran to do that? Think of Iran, or think of Ahmadinejad and statements he makes and says he wants to be part of the international community and so on and so forth, and then turns around and launches missiles. So you have somebody at the meeting and promising to allow the access. Now let's see if it really happens, because we've seen this song and dance before. If it's all talk, 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 then it's time for action. And I think it's been time for action for quite a long time. Now, here's the scoop, too. Iran and the six world powers are going to meet again after these talks on the nuclear program and some other things as well. So the door has been kicked open. But will this so-called productive day lead to positive results from Iran? I'm a little skeptical. I don't know about you. Here's what's interesting, and we talked about this. When is it time to take the action? I think the action should have been taken a long time ago. But a recent poll out, in fact, it was a Fox News poll, 61% say use force, baby, to stop Iran. Because why? Most of us are worried about Iran developing a nuclear weapons program, let's face it. Clearly, that is a serious possibility, right? So here are the numbers. 69%, that's a pretty decent chunk, majority of Americans, think President Obama has not been tough enough on Iran. Well, duh, of course not. That includes over half of Democrats. That's the thing. 55%, two-thirds Independents, 67%, and of course Republicans. But it's those other numbers that are hurting, I think, Obama, and then that's that whole thing with the approval ratings and whatnot, and of course playing to run for another 4 years, you know, playing for the 4 years ahead. So 16% of Americans think the president's actions have been about right. Hardly any. 6% say he's been too tough on Iran. Are you kidding me? I want to meet the people who think that anybody's been too tough on Iran. Speaking of that, oh, we have a great surprise coming up next. Somebody who knows all about the situation and has pushed for it, the director of the International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice, very, very vocal in the call for sanctions against Iran. He joins us next here on ATN.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you're looking for a company that will meet and exceed your water purification needs, you need to visit PureWaterFreedom.com. If you're concerned about contaminants in your water, such as fluoride, chlorine, pharmaceutical drugs, arsenic, and even iron or rust, PureWaterFreedom.com has a water purification system perfect for your home or office. PureWaterFreedom.com carries state-of-the-art water filters for every application, including countertop, under-sink, shower and bath, whole house, ultraviolet sterilizers, fluoride filters, and reverse osmosis systems that remove fluoride and pharmaceutical drugs, and much more. Installation takes moments, so you'll be enjoying crisp, clean, satisfying water in no time. Not sure which water purification system will work best for you? Log on or call today to speak with a water purification specialist. Call 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Or visit PureWaterFreedom.com. PureWaterFreedom.com. The best filtered water in the world.
I must have dreamed a thousand dreams.
Coming up here on America's Night, Fair or Foul, two Dallas women decide to sue the neighbor for smoking in her own home. On the surface, it doesn't sound too fair. It sounds like a frivolous lawsuit. I'll explain. In the meantime, on the heels of what we were just talking about, the situation in Iran, and we're hoping to speak with Jordan, who's in Washington, D.C., so if he gets through, we'll be able to chat with him about the day's events and ultimately this latest drama with Iran and in Switzerland. Will anything happen as a result? Will there be that unfettered access to this newly disclosed uranium enrichment site? Or, like I mentioned, is it going to be nothing but talking? And ultimately, Iran saying, forget about it. I mean, the ball is in Iran's court. If the call for stiff economic sanctions really, really holds up, should Iran back out of all of this? Because the focus is this uranium facility. I mean, that's the danger, obviously. So the talks, I guess you could call them constructive. But until there's a follow-up, you have no idea whether it's like I said, the same old thing that we've heard in the past. I mean, let's hope not. If it's nuclear energy for a peaceful purpose, well, then, of course, they can certainly do that. Iran can do that. But does anybody really believe that's what they're doing? And the answer to that is no. There's no belief in what Iran is saying. Former President Jimmy Carter, who spruced up his museum, his presidential museum in Atlanta, sat down with one of the reporters from CNN, and I thought his comments on Iran, because remember he dealt with the whole hostage crisis thing. Here was his comments on Iran and moving forward with this regime and the whole idea of nuclear enrichment.
I hope and pray that Iran will be induced to permit the international inspectors to come in and observe their entire nuclear program, because what they're doing so far is entirely legal under the Non-Proliferation Treaty. They have a right to purify uranium and even plutonium to be used to produce power. I think the worst thing that we can do is to continue to threaten Iran, because if Iran is on the borderline between going nuclear and not on a weapons system, the constant threats that they're we or the Israelis are going to attack Iran is the best thing to force them, let's defend ourselves. So I don't think that Iran has yet made up their mind about what to do, and I think the best way we can do is engage them and stop making these idle threats that force them to take the most militaristic action.
Yeah, see, I agree there with what Carter said. You got to cut out the idle threats. They have to take action. If nothing happens in the next 14 days, there's no more conversation. There has to be a drop-dead timetable. So we can talk about this conversation that six powers had with Iran, representatives from Iran, about what they're doing. But it's just a conversation and the idea that they're going to follow through. Will they follow through? That is the key thing, because there's no exceptions here. Finally. I mean, for the United States and Iran to sit down and to talk about the differences between the two countries, obviously, is a very big deal, because they also discussed human rights issues, including detained Americans in Iran. Remember those hikers that are being held there? Or actually, there's three, I guess, because they strayed from Iraqi territory into that country. So there were other things that were discussed, but the idea of the second uranium enrichment facility is key. What happens here, right? So Obama and the leaders of Britain and France publicly pushing last week at the G20 summit in Pittsburgh and threatening the sanctions and specifically laying them out, that was a good thing. Then this latest meeting, but without a follow-through, again, it is worthless. You can't keep bullying the bully verbally. You have to hit him where it hurts. That's the only thing you can do with Iran. And once again, to be clear, Iran, of course, constantly claiming that its nuclear program is just for peaceful purposes. But I'd say that the people accusing them of trying to develop a nuclear weapon is probably pretty accurate, on par. If nothing happens in 14 days, how would you feel about the job that Obama has done with Iran and the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. I would give them a zero for Iran if nothing happens. Once that 14-day counter clicks, then on the 15th day, okay, here's what we're announcing. I would say you have to line up everybody. Here's what we're willing to do in 2 weeks if nothing changes and there's no set schedule for going in and seeing what's going on in those facilities, then it's time to pull the trigger and forget about it and move forward, right? And I've gotten a lot of emails on the situation in Iran from many of you. When we go to our mailbag segment, I'll be sure to hit those up. I appreciate that. You can flip me an email if you have any thoughts on the situation with Ahmadinejad, and you can do that, of course, by going to americatonight.net. And check out americatonight.net anyway, the website, because we are updating it. It has the blunder of the days on there and various articles and what's happening in the world. So you can certainly use it as a source. We're going to start loading up some more of the what happened during the day and some new polls and that sort of stuff as well. I mentioned this at the top that the movie Capitalism, is Michael Moore's movie, is coming out this weekend. It's not the only one, but it's funny. I thought about this. He does a movie on capitalism, but he's a millionaire filmmaker. To his credit, he's done well at the gig, right? He's become a millionaire thanks to the profits from the movie, but he's telling a lot of the people that have interviewed him that capitalism really did nothing for him, because it's natural to think, well, he's got a fortune of over 50 million or so. So you go and see this movie and here's what you say. Well, you know, we live in a capitalistic society, a free market system. In another system, you wouldn't be able to make those profits. So is a guy like Moore justified in making a movie where he paints capitalism as evil, evil, evil. Now, I will say this. I already mentioned this. I love what he did to the guys on Wall Street. So it's a little different than what did he do? He wrote, he did Fahrenheit 9/11. And he also had, I saw that, of course. He did the other movie, Bowling for Columbine. He had a book, Stupid White Men, if you remember that. So he's certainly out there. And according to Fortune magazine, his films have made about $300 million worldwide. And the Fahrenheit movie was the one that raked in the biggest bucks. It was really criticizing the Bush administration for the whole war in Iraq and how they handled it. And that, I'll tell you, that was the cash cow, $200 million worldwide. Wow. So for this latest flick, he was supposedly paid about $21 million, plus he gets 50% of the profits from his 2007 flick, Sicko, so that's $25 million plus DVD sales. And if you start adding up that money, obviously he's made money on it. But the movie, I think, has a lot of buzz, so we'll see where that goes. And like I said, when he is criticized about the whole capitalism thing, he has said, to his credit, the one thing that he does is the people that he features in his films, who always have terrible stories, whether they were screwed by their health insurance company and they couldn't get the cancer treatment they needed or whatever it was, that he gives them the money. So he's not saying that up front. He doesn't ask, you know, say, I'll give you the money if you go on camera. But he does afterwards, or has apparently, mailed checks to people. So, you know, you can't attack him for that. But at the same time, if he were a documentary filmmaker somewhere else, would he be pulling down the big bucks that we just mentioned? All right, I said I was going to talk about this, and I will, coming up here in a few minutes. Smoking pretty much outlawed in public places. We all know that. For all of you who smoke, is it pretty tough to find places to light up a cigarette? If you, whatever you work, do you have a little corner outside where you go? Bars, pool halls, government buildings, all that sort of stuff. So in your own home, I would think you would be allowed to just, you know, smoke, right? Well, a Dallas woman filed a lawsuit seeking six figures from a former neighbor and a landlord for damage she says was caused by cigarette smoke. More details on the flip side.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's DIGANET.net. DIGANET.net. Diginet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
The GCN Radio Network. Providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity quality and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
Toxins are in our foods, and chemicals are in our air. Chemicals are in our water supply. We purify our air and we purify our water, and yet we forget to purify our bodies. Funny, our bodies continue to absorb these deadly toxins and chemicals every day. Isn't it time to make a change? Maybe a life change? Get rid of toxins and chemicals. GetTheTea.com. Log on to GetTheTea.com and order your protection today. Our testimonies tell the truth. GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals, lose some weight, and get free from unhealthy living. Order today at GetTheTea.com.
Coast to coast and everywhere in between here on America Tonight. Well, I said, is it fair or foul? A Dallas woman looking for at least six figures, going after a former neighbor and the landlord, like I mentioned. She said there's too much damage done to her caused by cigarette smoke coming in through the adjoining walls of her high-end town home. Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from the woman who's doing the suing. Her name's Chris Daniels. She said, "Smoking is not a right, it's a privilege. I'm sorry that people smoke. I think it's foolish, but when it comes into my house and hurts my health and my daughter's health and our belongings, you know what? It's a different issue." This has to be one of the first of its kind. You know, your townhouse, that makes sense, adjoining wall, that makes sense. But this is, like I said, a very high-end area, and they're saying now it's unlikely, at least the attorney for the townhome says it's, of course, it's unlikely that either one of the women sustained any smoke damage, and they're trying to prove it. They say there's a two-hour firewall from the foundation to the roof between each of the houses. So then you ask yourself, well, you know, they want money damages. Is this a frivolous lawsuit? Is it easy to say, oh, you know, I smelled smoke. What do you think about this? But they're saying no, that they had stinging eyes and breathing difficulty and sinus pains, and they had to move out and move someplace else. They had surgical masks loaded into their trucks with all their belongings because apparently they were wearing surgical masks at times. They're saying they needed to reupholster a lot of the furniture, do the artwork, restore it, and closets full of clothing had to be dry cleaned, and things were piling up on them. But this is, I've never heard of a case like this, and that's why I brought it up here in these airwaves, that, you know, this goes to court. Who do you think wins this? You know, will these women, or this woman, will she be successful saying that she was driven from her home by cigarette smoke, saying it was like living life in an ashtray, you never, ever come clean? Okay, I'm going to say frivolous lawsuit, but bummer if they really could smell that smoke coming in, you know, wafting through and stuff. I mean, I don't blame them there. Have you ever stayed in, if you're not a smoker, have you ever stayed in a hotel room where they allow smoking? You know, usually they have non-smoking hotel rooms, then they'll have some for smokers. And if they tell you they can't put you anywhere else, but hey, they've got a smoking, you know, a hotel where smoking was allowed, and you go in there, boy, it does smell like an ashtray. Could their house or townhouse possibly have been that bad? I'm thinking I don't think so. But I haven't been in the townhouse. Will they win this and win that money? That's the curious thing. Matt, what do you think? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and as someone who used to work in the bar industry, I remember several nights when I'd come home after work, my hair, and this is back when you could smoke in bars, my hair, my clothes, everything would smell like smoke. It was just everywhere, and that's the same thing with the rooms. You know, it gets in the fabric of the couch and the sofa, the chairs, everything, and it just reeks of smoke.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, I don't know how people, I thought about this the other day, I don't know how people, if you're not a smoker, you're just not a smoker for whatever reason, not because you're high on your horse about, I don't want to smoke and what it can do to you and all that other stuff, but just you don't smoke. I wonder how couples hook up when somebody does smoke and the other person doesn't. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, I've been in that situation before, and usually it's me trying to get the other person to quit smoking. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I smoked in the past. I don't anymore, and I'm grateful that I don't smoke anymore because it's rough. And I've seen other people go through trying to quit smoking, too, and it's a brutal battle.
I think so, too. I think people don't realize. I had somebody, we went round and round on the air a couple of years ago about how addictive nicotine was. And I think it's incredibly, and you know how incredibly addictive it is. People try patches and hypnotists and all kinds of things. And it's I think it's a very hard habit to break. Was it hard for you?
I was more along the lines of a social smoker and who would tend to, like, and then I started smoking, like, here and there more on a regular basis. But at the same time, I never got to that point where I had to have, you know, a cigarette every couple hours. So, I don't know, maybe I just didn't have that addictive part of my brain working with the nicotine, so it was easier for me. I know for a fact it was a lot easier for me than I've had friends and girlfriends and other people try to quit smoking. It was definitely easier for me than anyone else I've seen. So I can't say that, you know, it's a rough battle for myself, but I've seen other people go through it.
Yeah, and it's tough. I don't know, they may have a leg to stand on in this lawsuit if they can prove that it was similar to like a smoky bar, like that you were mentioning. If they can prove that they were inhaling all this secondhand smoke, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, especially when you got they're trying to claim that it was going through the walls
or
something. That's,
yeah.
I don't know. That's a little out there, but I mean, I don't even know how they would be able to prove that because
you'd have to have air quality. Somebody
right.
Take the air quality, but it still would be pretty tough. It's without the jury. You know, if you took a jury on a field trip, they went into the place and then they could see if they could, or they could smell it for themselves or whatever. But I think that's tough. They're going to have doctors come in. They're going to have to have people testifying about that. That's pretty tough. Cause how do you prove it? I mean, you could have somebody smoke around your clothes if you're trying to pull the wool over their eyes or whatever and bring them in as evidence, all that stuff. I mean, what is the evidence?
But at the same time, don't they have to prove that it's damaging their health somewhere? Like, not just the smell of it, because
right, a doctor
you could be smelling
the
smoke, but it doesn't do anything to you. You'd have to prove somehow that you're breathing in contaminated air.
Right, absolutely. So I think it's going to be a tough battle for them to prove that, but we'll see. It'll set a big precedent. Man, it sets a huge precedent across the nation if they win that lawsuit. If they win it, we'll see. We'll keep our eye on that one for sure. Hey, speaking of court cases, Elizabeth Smart had to relive the kidnapping ordeal at a hearing in Salt Lake City in a U.S. District Court. It's a competency hearing that she was at for the accused kidnapper, Brian David Mitchell. She's now 21. At the time, she was 14 years old. That's how long this has taken. She had to go through all these details from the 9 months that she was, you know, held in captivity. And I hope they nail this scumbag to the wall. I mean, listening to the details of this, he held a knife to her throat, told her to get up or he'd kill her and her family just to get some tennis shoes on. Remember, again, she's 14 years old. He told her that he was taking her hostage and keeping her for ransom. And she said, well, that was a lie. What happened was he took her to a camp in the mountains about 3 miles, as we all know now, from her house. And, of course, was introduced to his wife, gee. And then he took her into a tent and performed a, quotes, marriage ceremony. After that, he raped her, and he raped her every single day, 3 to 4 times a day, she said. Remember, there was no details on any of this. And she also told the court that he chained her to a tree to keep her from leaving. Oh, just sickening. And said there was no 24-hour period where he wasn't able to rape her. And she was, remember, 14 years old. Gave her alcohol, drugs to lower the resistance, made her watch pornography, all this sort of stuff. She said there was a time when she, had an upchuck from too much alcohol, and he forced her to lie face down in it. Oh, I don't know how Elizabeth Smart's father doesn't want to just strangle this lowlife to death. I mean, seriously, choke the life out of him. So, to her credit, I mean, she went back in, and let's hope that they find that he's competent, because I don't want this guy to get off on that. Oh, he wasn't competent. Give me a break. Like I said, nail him to the wall. That's what should happen here. Give me a break. He was manipulative, wicked, evil, and that's how she described him. So she was pretty calm, I guess, the description was, and composed throughout her testimony. Good for her, just 21 years old and has to go and relive all these nasty, nasty details. So her father was on one of the morning shows, I think it was on the Today Show, and he had some, he talked about Elizabeth and where she's at, and also how it hurts him to have to hear about his daughter's testimony, because they didn't know all the details until just now.
You know, there were certainly a lot of things that I have never heard before, and I had no idea what she had gone through so much out there. I was very proud of her, the way she was able to be so forthright and basically paint the picture of Brian Mitchell, of what he is, and that if this doesn't clinch the issue of competency, our nation is in really, really bad shape, because it means that anyone out there can manipulate and make the court do what it wants and get away with what they want.
All right, see, I think that, you know, good for him for saying that. He hit the nail on the head. This should cinch, as he said, the issue of competency, or we're really in trouble. We really are. Can you imagine if that isn't proven in this case? Like I said, with her revealing all the details and going through the timelines. And here's what I love. She wasn't afraid to face him in court. She said she wanted to make sure he was there to hear what she had to say, make him sit there and listen to her, and shame on the people in Salt Lake City. Shame on that federal court judge if they don't decide to declare him competent. I mean, that'd be a crying shame, don't you think? 800-259-5791.
Are you constantly tired? Have a hard time concentrating? Experience muscle weakness or have problems with digestion? The solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body. Liquid Zeolite, available only at RestoreYourHealthNow.com, captures toxins and physically carries them out of your body. This safe and effective way of detoxifying can easily remove heavy metals and contaminants. Studies show that Liquid Zeolite captures triggering antigens which cause allergies, migraines, and asthma, decreasing the rate and severity of these symptoms. Liquid Zeolite is a tasteless and odorless liquid that, when taken daily, supports a healthy, happy, and active lifestyle in an increasingly toxic world. And Liquid Zeolite is so gentle that you won't even know you're taking it. Although your list of ailments may be endless, the solution is simple. Try Liquid Zeolite for yourself by visiting RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Or call 1-800-976-0025. That's 1-800-976-0025 today.
eCigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting eCigarettesNational.com. That's the letter E, CigarettesNational.com. eCigarettesNational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older. AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUA Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
More controversy for David Letterman. In June, remember he apologized to Sarah Palin for making a crude joke about the former GOP vice presidential candidate's 14-year-old daughter. Now there, and then there was that the people demonstrating outside and saying that he should be fired and all that stuff. Then that kind of blew over, right? Now there's a new controversy, and this time it has to do, apparently, with extortion. He acknowledged that he had sexual relationships with female employees, and I guess somebody was trying to extort money from him over the affairs. Here specifically is what Letterman said.
The creepy stuff was that I have had sex with women who work for me on this show. Now, my response to that is, yes, I have. I have had sex with women who work on this show. And And would it be embarrassing if it were made public? Perhaps it would. Perhaps it would. Especially for the women. But that's a decision for them to make if they want to come public and talk about the relationships. If I want to go public and talk about the relationships. But what you don't want is a guy saying, oh, I know you had sex with women, so I would like $2 million or I'm going to make trouble for you. So that's where we stand right now.
All right, so here's what happened, that somebody was trying to get $2 million out of him for this and saying, as Letterman alluded to at the end there, trying to get him to pay $2 million or saying that he was going to tell everybody that he was had fooled around with a bunch of women on the show. So Letterman had to go downtown and testify before a grand jury, and obviously he knew that this was going to become public, so why not tackle it on the show? Do you think he tackled it the right way, though? I mean, actually, it was the typical Letterman kind of way to say it, I guess, that it was maybe embarrassing for the women and to just acknowledge it and all that other sort of stuff. Now, it didn't, in what he said, it's not really clear when the relationships took place because his now wife was his longtime girlfriend. They started dating in 86, and they were married in March. They have a son who was born in 2003, if you remember. So Letterman with something very out of left field. I don't think many people were expecting to hear that. And you could tell from in the beginning the audience with kind of that nervous laughter when he made a comment. I mean, they were sort of waiting for the ba-bump moment. And it really wasn't. I mean, it was really what happened to him. So now you're probably going to see in a lot of the tabloidy things, people digging for information as to who were the women and, you know, more of the sort of details and stuff, because that's usually the way things go down. But what a strange thing to hear from David Letterman. And that was on Thursday's show. So that just happened on Letterman. You can expect to see, like I said, some of those stories probably over the weekend. And Letterman, ratings-wise, is beating The Tonight Show by the biggest margin that he's had in years, in like 15 years, because Jay Leno was always ahead of Letterman, or at least since he had Hugh Grant on, and Hugh Grant admitting to an embarrassing liaison with a prostitute, with a hooker, you know. And that's when his ratings started to rocket and took a, you know, kind of distanced the gap between the two of them in the ratings. And now David Letterman is dominating. And, of course, The Tonight Show has a new host, Conan O'Brien. Yeah. So that's probably part of what the big difference is. I think what would be interesting to compare would be Jay Leno going an hour earlier and how that holds up, and then what happens in the late night wars with Letterman and Kimmel and obviously Conan O'Brien and all those guys down the line. But again, pretty decent viewership for David Letterman compared to what they used to get with Leno. And he's starting to get a bunch of write-ups, so that's got to put a little bit of pressure, I think, on Conan O'Brien, although it probably takes some time there. I don't know, Matt, do you watch, of all those guys, if you were going to watch somebody, who would you watch?
I always liked Letterman over Leno, but I think, I don't know, Conan I've always liked as well, but I don't know if I'm liking the new show as much as the old show. So I don't know where I stand, I guess. I haven't watched a ton of late-night TV recently, but it's probably be a toss-up between Letterman and Conan for me. I never was a fan of Leno. I don't really like Jimmy Fallon's show. Jimmy Kimmel's show's not all that good either. Craig Ferguson, surprisingly, has a decent show, though.
Yeah, I like Craig Ferguson.
His opening monologue, I think, is good. And I think he's better at not relying on bits and things like that, where, you know, Conan and Jimmy Fallon, they all have to have kind of, I don't know, lots of a cast of characters around them. And Craig Ferguson does a good job of just doing the show by himself.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. He's really that diamond in the rough that if you watch him, you get it. You totally get him. And especially if you like sarcasm, and he's can be also at times kind of dry, he's good.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of kind of the British humor as well, and
mm-hmm.
you know, he's Scottish, and whenever he has, like, he's had James McAvoy on before, and going back and forth with their Scottish accents, it's pretty funny too. So I don't know. I think Ferguson's probably the most underrated of the late night guys, but I don't know. Letterman's probably the one who's always been the most consistent in my book, and one that I've liked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I agree. It was a strange thing to hear him say that and hear the audience's reaction, because
there was a gasp.
Right, they weren't expecting it, that.
Like, really? And then, you know, the alert, nervous laughter, like you said, after, you know, he tried to make a joke of it.
And it's in New York, baby, so you can just imagine what the headlines will read for the next couple of days. Hey, we have the blunder of the day quickly. What was going on here that you had an 11-year-old boy driving a Suburban, 11 years old, driving a Suburban on a wild chase going up to 100 miles an hour. Yeah, and he had cops all over the place trying to corner him, apparently. This happened in Wyoming, by the way. And the cops were trying to do their best to stop the kid. Finally, they did. They had no idea he was 11 because of the high-speed chases. They're, unfortunately, so common. They had to take him into custody, but what do you do? I mean, of all the chases I've heard, I have never heard of a 11-year-old going between 80 and 100 miles an hour, and he was on a couple of different highways and just changing speeds in between there. And like I said, they finally cornered him, and he stopped the car and tried to jump out and run on foot, but of course, they caught him, so he knew that was it. But I'm assuming they had to try him, obviously, as a kid. And what was going through his head, thinking with all these police chasing him, why he didn't stop sooner? He was actually taking them on the highways and then closer to the river, and then thinking that he could actually outrun these guys on foot. I tried to find out more information. I can't wait to see what first of all, they're going to try him, like I said, as a kid, but I can't wait to hear what the excuse was for what led to that, what made him decide to go 100 miles an hour and take off the way that he did. Is he going to say something like, I saw it in a video game, or I was watching it on some movie, or I don't know. 11's pretty young. I had no clue about driving when I was 11. Did any of you? Well, you grew up on a farm, maybe. Helping out with the tractor, kind of similar. Mm-hmm. Flip me an email, day or night, americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time!